Sure is good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we have a few people that are visiting y'all. We want you to know you're our most welcome and our most honored guest. And anytime you're here in the Searcy area again, it is our hope and desire that you come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God. A sermon this morning is a very simple concept and a very simple question. And that is, I want all of us to be examining ourselves as to whether we are going forward spiritually or are we going backward. From Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. In the text here, Jeremiah the prophet speaking about Judah is talking about how they refused to open their heart, they refused to open their ears and listen to God, and instead they were going to go their own way. They were going to go according to their own desires. And in doing so, they were going backward. They weren't going forward. So again, the question I want all of us to examine ourselves today and ask this question, am I going backward or am I going forward? First, let's talk about spiritual growth. From the outline now, I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 10. If you have the outline, if you don't have the outline, just take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be reading now from verse 5 through verse 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Now, in the text here, we're talking about the different Christian attributes that we're supposed to be adding to our faith. And the goal is to have these things in us and abounding. Look at verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, am I growing in the Christian attributes that are listed here? Am I even working at it? I want to tell you something. You do not grow in Christian attributes unless you are diligently working at them, realizing that I need to continually grow, trying to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. All of us need to be working on growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. All of us need to be working on our self-control, getting control of our temper, getting control of our tongue, getting control of our actions. Are you going forward? Or are you going backward? We need to get control of patience and perseverance to where we don't give up on one another and give up on our relationship with God. Are you growing? Are you going forward? Or are you going backward? Getting back to the list of text here, it talks about godliness. This is the idea of godly fear, all toward God, that is manifest in the way in which we live. Are you growing in your godliness? Are you growing in your godly fear? Or are you going to go your way and do what you want to do, regardless of how it affects others? Are you afraid of judgment? Do you take that into mind when it comes to your actions and your words? Getting back to the text here, not only talks about growing in godliness, he talks about growing in brotherly kindness. Are you kind to one another? Are you considering how your words and your actions are going to affect other people? Think about that before you say it. Think about that before you do it. Grow in brotherly kindness. Are you going forward in brotherly kindness or are you going backward? Not only after brotherly kindness, he talks about love. Love is the greatest. This is what we're continually working at, striving to learn to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And loving one another, and especially loving the brotherhood, loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, brotherly kindness and love. I have a question. Are you going forward in true love for God and true love for one another, or are you going backward? You're going in one of those two directions. And if you do not realize that you need to grow in them, if you think all you got to do is put your life on spiritual cruise control to where I've got this all under control, all I got to do is put it under cruise control and I'm going to heaven, you better look out. Because if you're not going forward, you're going backward. You're going in one of those two directions. We must never, ever become satisfied with where we are in our spiritual growth. I don't care if you've been a Christian for decades. You've got a long way to go. You always have a long way to go. But what we're trying to get to here is to where these Christian attributes, like look again at verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you want them, as the old King James says, in you and abounding, to where you're abounding in brotherly kindness. You're abounding in love for one another. You're abounding in self-control. You're abounding in perseverance. He says, if you have these things in you and abounding, going back to verse 8, that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 9 now. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And so if you don't grow in these, you're short-sighted. And he says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for he, if you do these things, you will never stumble. I got a question for you. Are you stumbling spiritually? Are you becoming entwined and entangled in sin? Because if you become entangled in sin and you stumble and you're on the ground, if you don't get up and get untangled and get back into spiritual growth going forward, if you become entangled and overcome, the latter end will be worse than the beginning. And judgment day will not be good for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, again talking about the Christian growth, says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. One of the texts we learn here in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10 is add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. We're talking about growing in the knowledge of God's Word. In my Bible class this morning, I was trying to emphasize to you the importance of using the Word of God to defend yourself spiritually. The importance of the Word of God to strengthen your faith. The importance of the Word of God to where you have the shield of faith with which you can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one so that you can stand an evil day. If you're going to grow strong as a Christian, you've got to spend a lot of time with the Word of God. There are so many things out there that are wanting your time and your attention. I know this. Watch this. Read this. Look at this. Put them all down sometimes and focus on what you need to stand spiritually, which is the Word of God. Go to it. Find the verses that fit where you are. Find the verses that fit the spiritual struggle you're facing at that time. Read them and meditate on them. Let them sink in. Do not let them wash over your heart and mind like water over a rock. Go to the Word of God and use it. God has given us weapons that will work if we will just use them. So you grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And then again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Where is your faith right now? Please be honest in examining yourself. Where is your faith and your trust in God? Do you have a strong faith, a strong trust in God? If you answer that, well, not really, you better be careful, because you may be going backwards and not even realize it. God wants you to grow stronger and stronger and stronger in your faith. So where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. Again, you've got to go back. You've got to read about the virgin birth. You've got to read about the miracles. You've got to read and focus the mind on the crucifixion of the Christ and understand what it was done for. You need to read about the resurrection. And then when you realize who Jesus really is, put your trust and your confidence in the Word of God and what it is telling you is coming, to where you have no doubt about God being with you, no doubt about God's promises. Let your faith grow stronger and stronger and stronger. So again, ask yourself this question: am I going forward in my faith or am I going backwards? After that, he says in the last part of the verse, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Remember the last part of 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 10? The last part of the Christian attributes we're trying to add to our faith is brotherly kindness and love. He wants us abounding in it. So my question for you is this, and be honest in answering it. Is your love abounding toward everybody that's here? If the answer is not everybody, some of them, yes, but not everybody, something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. God wants our love abounding toward everybody. Are you going forward or are you going backward? You're going one of those two directions. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "The newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." How many times do we keep coming back to this? Are y'all noticing it? The word. You come back to the word, grow in knowledge, grow in faith, grow in love. That is what God wants of us. And it is a continual process that you work at. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. Everybody listen real close to what I'm about to tell you right now. I don't know anybody whose spiritual growth is like this, a rocket that just goes whoosh, one straight line all the way to heaven. That's not reality. And the idea is, I'm going forward. I'm always going forward. Every second, every day, I'm going forward, 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 forward. I don't ever get weak. This is more of the way your spiritual growth is going to be. I go forward, and then I slide back. Oh. Okay, get up, go forward again. I'm doing good, I'm doing good. Slide back. It is more this. Yes, that's the reality of it. Sometimes you're going forward, you think you're doing good, and all of a sudden I'm going backwards. And all of a sudden I'm on the ground. And all of a sudden I'm getting entangled again here. What's happening? I thought I was doing good. All right, what do? You get up. You get up and start going forward again. What does Satan want you to do when you start going backwards? When you start having those weak moments, when you're struggling with self-control, when you're struggling with brotherly kindness, when you're even struggling with love? He wants you to give up, you're right. He wants you to stay on the ground. He wants you to be overcome. You take the sin to God, ask forgiveness, get up and get back into the race. And try to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. Try to continue to grow. And this is hopefully what you will realize. Yes, it may be a zigzag, but as you look at it over time, you're doing better at least than you were years ago. But sometimes you may be doing worse. All right. If that's the reality of where you are, then get up, get untangled. Ask for forgiveness. Try to do better. That's all we can do is try to do better and go forward. So, are we going forward in righteousness to heaven? Or are we going backward in sin to hell? From Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corrupt. They have forgotten the Lord, or forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel." And he says, finally, "they have turned away backward." This is Isaiah the prophet describing Israel, describing Judah. They are a sinful nation, laden with iniquity. They've forsaken the Lord. In the last part of this again, they've turned away. In what direction are they going? Backward. They're going further and further away from God. Luke says in chapter 9 and verse 62, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" All right. I know we got a few farmers here, but the truth of the matter is I don't know anybody here that's plowed by hand. Even when I did work with farming, we had tractors. But even on a tractor, there's a simple principle. Don't look back when you're plowing. Another way you could put it today is don't look back when you're driving. You know, you look back in the back seat and you're talking to the kids, you're in trouble. Well, the idea of plowing with the old dirt hand plowing is when you're plowing, you got to focus on where you're going. We understand that. You're going forward, you got to focus on where you're going, because if you look back, you're going to mess up. But the principle he's trying to teach you here is not about how to be a good farmer. He's trying to teach you spiritual matters. That as you're going forward spiritually, quit looking back. Quit looking back as though there's something back there that's worth going back to. I got a question for you. Is there anybody here this morning that can change the past? No. I cannot change my past. There are multitudes of times I wish I could. I wish my life was like a movie that I could edit and take out all the bad things. But I can't. My past deeds are what they are. And your past deeds, good or evil, are what they are. Don't look back. See the same concept taught again. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. What's the whole point of this? Don't look back. If you have been forgiven of sin in the past, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Don't look back. And if there's sin in the past that you struggled with, don't look back to it and go back to it. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And so, if you've escaped the pollutions of the world, you become entangled in them and overcome. There's two things there. One, you become entangled in them. The idea is you're looking back, and not only are you looking back, you decide, I'm going to go back. And you go back and you get entangled in the sin that you were involved in the past, and then not only entangling, you get overcome. God says, the latter end is worse for you than the beginning. He goes on further and he says, it would have been better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. The idea is going back, becoming entangled, and here's the key word again, overcome. That's what I was describing to you earlier, to where you're going back to the past, you're going back to sin in the past, not only other people's sin, but even your own sin. And you're becoming entangled in it again, and you get overcome, and you're down on the ground. Satan wants you to stay there. But what if this verse is describing you? What do? You get up. You ask God's forgiveness again. Let me ask you, anybody here that's asked God to forgive you just once? Twice? How many of you have lost count of how many times you've asked God to forgive you? I have lost count a long time ago. And get up again. Go to God who is merciful again. And ask forgiveness again. Get untangled as best you can. And start going forward. Philippians says in chapter 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead, or reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Could he change his past? No. Again, when you make peace with God, make peace with yourself. Stop beating yourself over sins you have already been forgiven of. Stop whipping yourself with guilt over sins that are in the past that you've already dealt with. Forgive yourself and start going forward. Look at the rest of the verse. I press on. He's going forward. Do not slip backward and go backward and get entangled in sin and go backward and become overcome by sin all the way to the point of going to hell. Instead, press on, go forward. See that word press on? The idea is I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on going forward. It doesn't matter how many times I get hit. It doesn't matter how many times I'm on the ground. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep going forward to heaven. That's where we're going. Come on. Let's all go together. And don't let anyone or anything keep us on the ground. Just press on all the way to the close of your race. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Do you see there's two directions here? Drawing back. That's going backwards. If you go backwards, become entangled in sin, become overcome by it, and stay there. The end of your eternal existence is going to be hell, perdition. But the one who holds on to their faith and grows in their faith and grows in the Christian attributes and grows in self-control, and grows in perseverance, and grows in godliness, and grows in brotherly kindness, and grows in love, and has them in abounding, you will never stumble. You will finish the race in Christ. In the end of your journey, the end of your life is going to be the salvation of your soul. All depending on which direction you're going. And now let's talk about growing as a congregation. From Revelation chapter 3, 1 through 2. And the angel of the church in Sardis write, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. What a sad commentary. Here's a congregation, they have a reputation. And that is, this is a living, thriving congregation. They're doing really well. That's what people would say about them as far as their reputation. But this is the way Jesus sees them in the reality of where they are. They are dead. You can be assembling on the Lord's day, worshiping God in truth, and be dead. Because you're not living Christianity out there. And you're not really even worshiping God from the heart. You're just going through the motions. I got a question for you. Is this congregation going forward or going backward? I hope we're going forward. He goes further in the text and he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Are there members here that are dying, that are ready to die spiritually, to be on the ground dead, overcome, and never get up again? We need to be aware of brethren that are struggling and be there for one another, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to help each other go forward, pressing on toward the goal. Because there are times when brethren get discouraged. There's times when brethren are struggling, when they're weak, and we need to strengthen what remains. He goes on further and he says, see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Here in Revelation 3, God is talking about how he set before this congregation an open door. The idea is that there are opportunities. Listen to me, brethren. The fields are still white to harvest. Here in Searcy, Arkansas, there are people out there who don't know about Christ crucified. There are people out there who don't know the way to God through Christ. There are Christians out there that are struggling. There is work to do in bringing in the harvest, planting, and in watering what is already here. There's a lot of work to do. And listen real close. There's always going to be a lot of work. It's never going to be done until we're all dead. And with God, we all got work to do. Let's all work together. Together, going forward together, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, helping one another. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I want you to realize that what we have as a goal for this congregation is to get closer to God, all of us, working, trying to get closer to God, closer to each other, planting with the Word of God, watering with the Word of God, and God will give the increase. We want this congregation to grow in number. I'm looking forward to the time when all these pews are full and we got to tear out the back walls. All right, that means we got work to do to bring in the harvest. And when we bring in the harvest, it's something I want you to understand. This is something my father taught me. Every person that becomes a member of this congregation has got their own set of problems. Every one of you, including me, we've all got our own set of problems. And we're all at different times in need of encouragement. We're all at different times in need of exhortation and in strengthening and in help. Because Satan is always trying to beat us down and get us entangled back in sin. But if we will plant and we will water, God will give the increase and we will grow in number and we will grow not only in number, we will grow in spirit, closer to God, closer to each other. That's the spiritual growth. And again, with all of us working together, hopefully all of us, every single one of us, will cross the finish line in Christ. One last verse. I didn't put it on some of the outlines. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. We want to plant and water here. But let me tell you, we are in an amazing time in history. We've got technology. Right now, this sermon is being recorded. Thank you, by the way. This sermon is being recorded. And copies of it are being seen around the country and other parts of the world. The sermon I preached last week, Gary was telling me we've already had over 100 people watch it from other parts of the world. We're trying to get the Word of God sounding forth from us. Because the Word of God is not to return to Him void. It will accomplish exactly what God wants it to accomplish. So we're trying to strengthen what's here in this congregation. And we're trying to get the seed out as far as we can, sowing it and letting the seed fly, and it will take root. So, as you examine yourself, and we even examine this congregation, be honest. Are you going forward or are you going backward? If you're honest and you realize that you're going backward and not going forward, if you've looked back and not only looked back, but gone back, get up, get untangled from the sin, and start going forward. If there's sin between you and your God, deal with it. Our God is gracious and merciful. As I told you, remember this, your life is not the rocket. Your life is more of a zigzag. And when you understand that reality, the zigzag is when you're sliding backwards. You got to be conscious of those moments when that's happening and deal with them, not acting like they're not there. Deal with them, recognizing where you are, ask God to forgive you, and go forward then, trying to do better. And we as a family, hopefully as a congregation, will try to grow in our love for one another, Grow in our brotherly kindness for one another, considering our words, considering our actions, and how they are affecting one another. And hopefully we will grow close to each other and strengthen and help one another to be stronger spiritually, to go forward. Because what we're trying to get to, folks, we're trying to press on toward the goal. The goal is being with God. And if there's anything we can do to help you in reaching that goal, we're here for you. If you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, and you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to come forward and confess that faith, and motivated by your faith, follow the word of God in your life, in one word, repent. And we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. What you will then do is go forward by faith, walk and live by faith, and grow as a Christian. Live by faith all the way to the close of your life, and at the end of it, it will be the salvation of your soul. But if you've already obeyed the gospel and you have looked back and gone back and become entangled in sin again, the brethren here, we love you. We are here for you. But God is gracious and merciful. Take the sin to Him, confess it to Him, and turn from it. And we'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you as your family. Get up and start going forward again. And make sure you press on all the way toward the goal. And stop looking backward. Press on toward what's ahead. And finish your race in Christ. If you need to make things right with God in any way, let it be made known while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.